let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus to give you all the honor, Lord, all the glory, all the praise, and just to say thank you. You've been so good to us, Lord God. You're revealing so many things to us, Father. You're opening our eyes, you're opening our ears, and you're giving us understanding. We are so grateful. We give you all the praise and all the honor, Lord God, for what you're going to say and for what you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. All right. As I almost promised, we're going to go to our books tonight. Okay. The only thing I'm going to do from the book right now is to give you the chapter. Okay. We're going to begin a lesson on prayer and God's promises. Prayer and God's promises. Now, our author devotes at least three chapters on prayer and God's promises. Okay? What I want to do, I want to give you a foundation first before we begin the lesson. So that's why I say kind of, sort of. We're going back to the book. But there are some things I want you to know before we go to the chapter. It is book two. Online students, we will be studying from book two, chapter 12, prayer and God's promises. I'd like for you to write down a couple things. The first things, I want you to write down God's word, God's spirit, and our faith, or you could put it my faith. You can make it personal. God's word, God's spirit, and my faith. Amen. As we begin this study on prayer and God's promises, turn to, this is not in your book, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I believe that when we finish these lessons on prayer and God's promises, your prayer lives are going to be revolutionized. I really, really, really believe that. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to look at, and we're going to all read it together, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 20. Ready? Let's read. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So I ask myself the question, if all the promises in this book are yes and amen, why don't I have them? Amen. So why don't I have them? And so what we're going to be learning, in this study on prayer and God's promises is, what have we been missing? Okay. And I think it's so important. You know, what I started off with, this is what the Holy Ghost gave me. I had to write it down like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. God's word, God's spirit, and our faith. So as we're studying, I want you to keep that in mind. God's word, God's spirit, and my faith. Amen. Let's begin Romans chapter 4. I said, for all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. And you know that amen mean what? So be it. Yes, right. That's right. So be it. So where is it? I mean, I read them. I know some of them. But I don't have them. Amen? Amen. Now, I guess I'm going to do some reading, and it's going to be a good bit of reading. But I want you to hear what I'm reading, and I want you to focus on God's word, God's spirit, and my faith. Amen? This is talking about Abraham's faith and the promise. Abraham's faith and the promise. Now, I'm going to start at verse 13 because the word promise is in there. Amen. Okay. Romans 4, verses 13 through, let's see what I put, through 25. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. And then we start to talk about Abraham's righteousness was by faith. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith. Remember, my faith. It is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope, talking about Abraham, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. Amen. According to a promise. Abraham had a promise. Amen. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God. Amen. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, given glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, God was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Amen. In this passage, we see God's word or God's promise to Abraham. Amen. Then we see Abraham's faith. You know, he staggered not at the promise. You know, he said, this is what God has said to me. I'm going to be fully persuaded. Amen. And we know that in the end, he and his wife, Sarah, they had a child. The Bible tells us that he was, what, almost 100 years old. Amen. But I don't know where I heard it or where I read it, but they were talking about Abraham took hold of the promise. Okay. You see that? Abraham took hold of the promise. So shall thy seed be. You know, and he says, okay, I have a promise from God. I'm going to believe this promise. Amen. I'm going to believe God that he's going to keep his word. Now turn over to Hebrews 11:11. You see, he couldn't do it by himself. Amen. He needed Sarah. He needed Sarah. Okay, and over in the Hebrews 11:11, it says, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Amen. Now, I want you to look at this last part. Because she judged him faithful, who had promised. There we go with that word promise again, okay? See, Abraham's faith was in the promise. Sarah's faith was in God, amen? And the faithfulness of God. He is faithful. And if he said it, he is going to do it. Amen. Amen. So I just want you to just to see that. Now, as we continue in this study of prayer and the promises. So, you know, we see here all the promises are yea and amen. We have looked at the word, the promise. We've looked at Abraham's faith. In Numbers 23 and 19, this is so important. And see, that's what Sarah did. She judged him faithful. And it says, and we've looked at this before in this class, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Amen. Talking about the faithfulness of God, the integrity of God. Amen. When he says it, he's going to do it. You know, and we have to get to that point that we have to just believe God. We have to trust God, especially when it comes to the promises of God. I love what Mr. Bounds does, because he goes a whole lot, and you're going to see it, about the importance of our knowing the word of God. Amen. And the importance of our being led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And so when you got the word and you got the Spirit and you connect your faith, there's no reason in the world the promise should not be manifested in our lives. Amen. So we're gonna be looking at some things. We're gonna, like I said, I believe your prayer life is gonna be revolutionized. Amen. I said here, and these are all preludes to our, we're gonna get to the book. We must believe. That's what I have here. We must believe. We all know Hebrews 11 and 6, but don't ever become so familiar with scriptures. Amen. So we're looking at Hebrews 11 and 6 in light of prayer and God's promises. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, if you're going to come to God in prayer, amen. If you're going to ask him anything, number one, you got to believe that he is. That there is really a God, amen, who's hearing me, amen. And not only that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, amen. I can count on him. I can trust him. That if I ask him in faith, nothing wavering, he's going to answer me, amen. Then John 6:63. Here we go with the Spirit now. Amen. We were gonna get there. Y'all know we were gonna get there, huh? I said God's word, God's Spirit, and our faith. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh profited nothing. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. And then the other scripture, so it's a lot of scriptures here, but I just want you to be familiar with these. We're going over these because I think it's so important to this lesson. And I want y'all to lay hold on them. Amen. John 15 and 7. If ye abide in me, and my words, hallelujah, and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will. I'll put in parentheses, in prayer. Amen. And it shall be done. It shall. That's that word, shall. And it shall be done unto you. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of elaboration because Mr. Bounds is going to do that a little bit later on with John 15 and 7. Amen. All right. Now I'm ready for our book. And I know y'all like to go through and underline. I know what y'all doing. I see you. All right. Book 2, Online Students, Chapter 12, Prayer and God's Promises. Mr. Bounds begins, he says, God's word, like the whole Bible, is just a record of prayer. He said, of praying men and their achievements, of the divine warrant of prayer, and of the encouragement given to those he prayed, who prayed. Amen. You know, it's just, it's a record of prayer. Everything that we read in the Bible, everything that we see, it's all about prayer and men who prayed and what they were able to achieve because they prayed. Amen. Reading and studying God's word helps us to realize the cause of God and the success of his work in this world. These things are all committed to prayer. Amen. So if we want to be concerned about the cause of God, you understand what the cause of God, all about God, what do you want? What his will is, amen? And the success of his work, talking about vision, talking about dreams, talking about promises that he gives us, amen? In this world, that all of these things are committed to prayer. Praying men have been God's appointed officers on earth. Here we go back with that word. Remember early on, we looked at that word prayerless. Okay. Mr. Bounds says, prayerless men are men and women who do not pray, have never been used of God. Amen. Men and women who do not pray have never been, I'm going to use the word mightily, used of God. Amen. A reverence for God's holy name is closely related to a high regard for his word. If you reverence his name, you're going to reverence his word. Amen. The hallowing of God's name, the ability to do his will on earth as it is in heaven, and the establishment and glory of God's kingdom are as much involved in prayer as when Jesus taught men the universal prayer, our Father. Amen. Amen. It's still involved. It's still involved. Amen. All of these things are still, you know, to hallow God's name, the ability to do his will on earth as it is in heaven, and the establishment and glory of God's kingdom, they are still involved in prayer as much today as when Jesus taught the Our Father prayer. Amen. In Luke 18:1, we've seen it before. You know, that's the verse that says men are always to pray, remember, and not to faint. This is as fundamental to God's cause today as when Jesus said it. Amen. Yeah, because if you don't pray today, you're going to faint. Amen. Amen. And we looked at this not long ago, Matthew 21:13, God's house shall be called the house of prayer. Y'all remember that? Okay. God's word, and remember what that's what I started off with, right? God's word, God's spirit, and our faith. God's word is the basis of, the directory of, and the prayer of faith. In Colossians 3:16, the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. As the word of Christ dwells richly in us, look, we become transformed. Amen. As the word of Christ dwells richly in us. Yeah, now I'm going to date some of you here. Years and years ago, I was a little bitty girl. They had a commercial for a men's hair cream. Brill cream, I think that was the name of it. And it says, a little dab will do you. When it comes to the word of God, there is no such thing as a little dab will do you. You must allow the word of God to dwell in you richly. Amen. You know, you can't just read it and say, uh-huh. You can't just come to service on Sunday and Wednesday and think you got it all. You must spend time with the Word of God individually and personally. Amen. Now, there are some things we get in service. You know, some things, I mean, it's quicker. And it'll stay with you. But you want to keep it in you. Amen. So you want to study that Word, and you want to pray that Word so that if it can become your spirit can become a dwelling place. And then your life will be transformed as a result of your spending time with the Word of God. Amen. Okay, we said, as the Word of Christ dwells richly in us, we become transformed. The result is that we become then praying Christians. And I believe that's what's happened. A lot of times people try to pray, but they haven't spent enough time in the Word of God. Amen. So they'll start asking God things, and they'll ask amiss, or they'll start praying the problem. Have you ever heard people just start praying the problem? Lord, you know, I'm sick. Lord, I've been sick a long time. Well, yeah, you know. And I'm pretty sure he keeps saying, you know, okay, what you want? Okay, that's what Jesus did. What would you have me to do for you? You know, and then you got to answer in line with the Word of God. Amen. Answer in line with the Word of God. He says faith. Our author says faith is constructed. It's built of the Word. There we go. See here. Y'all thought I was just making that up. And the Spirit. You got the Word and you got the Spirit. And faith is the body and substance of prayer. Amen. So if you want to construct, amen, your faith, if you want to build your faith, you're going to need the Word and you're going to need the Spirit. Amen. And then your faith is the body and the substance of your prayer. You know, just like I can't emphasize enough the importance of knowing and understanding. That's the other thing. Receiving revelation from the Word of God, you know, before we pray. You know, when I came to Word of Life Christian Center a few years ago, I think that was one of the most astounding things that I learned. I learned the importance of praying the Word, because I didn't know that. I knew Our Father prayer, but I didn't know that when I prayed, I needed to go to God with His Word, putting Him in remembrance of what He has said, putting Him in remembrance of what He has promised. Amen. And then I have to spend time with that Word until, let me see, that Word becomes a part of me. You know, you got to meditate. You got to meditate the Word. I knew nothing at that time about asking the Holy Spirit to reveal, you know, the Word to me. I didn't know anything about that. But gradually, you know, bit by bit by bit, I began to understand. There's a Holy Spirit on the inside of me who's going to help me to understand this. And we're going to see, Mr. Bounds is going to even talk about having the Holy Spirit help us to, I think he uses the word rightly interpret the Word. So if the Word is rightly interpreted, then it can be wrongly interpreted. You know, you can read the Word and you can think it's saying something that's not what God is trying to get over to you at all. Amen. All right. In many of its aspects, prayer, now he was a little light on this, is the, he said many of its aspects, I think in its main aspect, prayer is dependent on the Word of God. And we just looked at that John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now, Mr. Bounds says about this verse, listen, he says, God has committed himself, his purpose, and his promise to prayer. And you can see that in John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. Amen. God has committed himself, his purpose, and his promise to prayer. His Word becomes the basis and the inspiration of our praying. And then again, I had a big question mark right here. Under certain circumstances, he says, persistent prayer may bring additional assurance of God's promises. there would seem to be the capacity in prayer. Now, I really had to hold on here when I started reading this thing. He says, there would seem to be the capacity in prayer for going beyond the word, beyond his promise. But then he helped me. He says, and into the very presence of God himself. So he's talking about, you know, going beyond the word, going beyond the promise, all the way to God himself. And we're going to see that. I mean, this is really, 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 really important. Mr. Brown talks about, do y'all remember the story of Jacob and wrestling with the angel? It's Genesis 32, and we're not going to read it because I had to read verse 1 to 35. Amen. But in there, he explains to us, he says, Jacob wrestled not so much with a promise. Stop it now. We're talking about prayer and the promises of God. Amen. He says, Jacob wrestled not so much with a promise as with the promiser, the one who promised. Amen. We must take hold of the promiser. You know, Apostle tells us that all the time. You know, that, you know, we're always looking for the blessing. We use the word blessing, but that we have to focus on the blessor, meaning God. Amen. Amen. So Mr. Bound uses the word promise and promiser, the one who promised. He says we must take hold of the promiser or else the promise is useless. Amen. You got to know God made this promise. God himself made this promise. Prayer may well be defined as the force that vitalizes and energizes the word of God by taking hold of God himself. Amen. We must take hold of God himself. By taking hold of the promiser or by taking hold of God, prayer releases the personal promise. Amen. Amen, because your whole focus is on God and who he is and his integrity. And that if he has, remember, he's not a man. Remember Numbers 23:19, he is not a man. If he said it, he's going to do it. Amen. In Isaiah 64, verse 7, I think I need to read the whole thing. I have a little, no, I have a part of the verse. Isaiah 64 and 7. And we're talking about now taking hold of the promiser, not just the promise. Amen. 64 and 7. Isaiah 64 and 7. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. That's what Isaiah is saying. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Amen. But the main thing is taking hold of God. We got to take hold of God. Amen. The promiser. Amen. And then over in Isaiah 27 and 5, God is speaking. He says, let him take hold of my strength that he may make peace with me. Take hold of me. In 64 and 7, and then take hold of my strength in Isaiah 27 and 5. See, I use one Bible at home and then they say, this is the other one. Okay. 27 and 5. Or let him take hold of my strength that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me once he takes hold of my strength. Amen. Amen. So again, the whole focus is on the promiser, not just on the promise. By scriptural authority, prayer may be divided, Mr. Brown says, into the petition of faith and that of submission. Petition of faith and that of submission. The prayer of faith is based on the written word. We all know Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Not having heard, amen. You got to hear it continuously. Then he goes on. Now, I didn't remember. He talks about the prayer of submission. When I read this, I remember there's another author who talks about it as being the prayer of consecration. You know, you're consecrating to God. You don't have a specific promise. That's what he's saying. He says the prayer of submission is what is without a definite word of promise. For example, you want a car. You've decided you want you a red, what y'all want? I don't know what y'all want. What's red? I don't even know if BMW make a red car. I've never seen one. They do. Okay, somebody say you want a red BMW, you know. Well, there is no promise that says you can have a red BMW. Amen? But there is a promise that says, and we just read it, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. Tell me what you want. Be specific about it. So you can go to God and you could say, well, first of all, you look at your motives. Remember everything else that we learn about prayer. Look at your motives. Amen. Why do I want this? Is it just to keep up with the Joneses, or is it to bring glory and honor to God? Is it to show everybody that, you know, God is faithful and he takes care of me? Amen. You know, look at your motive, and then you can go to God and you can say, I saw this red BMW, and that's what I would love to have. You said I can have the desires of my heart. This is the desire. Amen. And I have known people who prayed that and received that. Amen. You know, you can do that. So it's not a specific promise that this is what you can have, but what he's saying, and you can submit this to God. Now, Lord, I'm submitting this to you. This is my desire. This is my will. I'm consecrating it and I'm submitting it to you. Amen. Amen. And you know, you can get it. You can have it. We read all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. He says, but in this prayer of submission, it takes hold of God with a lowly, that's what I was just saying, and contrite spirit, and ask and please with him for that which the soul, I love that word, the soul desires. You see, he's talking about your desire. It's not a specific promise as in the prayer of petition. You know, a lot of time when you're petitioning God, it's because you found a promise in the word of God. Amen. You found it. It's written. You know, back when I was learning, you know, about prayer here, I remember Apostle said, find the place where it's written. Amen. He would always say that. Find the place where it's written. And then you could go to God with your petition and asking him. You know, he says, if you can find where God did it for one person, yeah, then you can, you know, present that to him and you can ask him for it. And if your faith and your motive and everything is in all, you can get it. Amen. It's yours. It's it. All the promises in him are yea and amen. Amen. Then he goes on in this prayer of submission. Mr. Bound begins to give us examples. You know, these were people who did not have a specific promise from God, so to speak. But they were able to go to God in prayer and present their desires, their wishes, their needs, their wants. Amen. And he gives us, now, I'm going to give you the verses. Mr. Bound does not give us the verses or the chapters where these are found. He says, Abraham had no definite promise that God would spare Sodom. Amen. Y'all remember Sodom and Gomorrah. But, you know, old Abe went in there and said, if I find 50, would you spare it? Y'all remember that, huh? And if I find, well, I don't know if he went 30, 10, went all the way down, what, to 10? Yeah, somebody said, why didn't go all the way to 1, you know? I guess, he thought that would have been asking too much. You know, no such thing. But if he had just said, just one, and, you know, God might have spared him, amen? But anyway, he was able to petition God or intercede on their behalf, even though he didn't have that specific promise. Mr. Bounds says, You know, this is the prayer of submission, because he's submitting or he's consecrating his request to God on behalf of Sodom. Genesis 18. Then Moses, he said, had no definite promise that God would spare Israel. Instead, there was the declaration of God's wrath and his purpose to destroy. Moses interceded for the Israelites with incessant prayers and many tears. Now you got to understand, and this is found in Exodus 32. What happened, you know, Moses was up on the mountain, up on Mount, I think it was Sinai, talking to God, getting the Ten Commandments. And apparently he stayed a long time. And the children of Israel said, well, we don't know what happened to Moses. This man, I guess they thought he was dead or something. And they went on to Aaron and they said, let's make us a god out of this gold, remember? And they made a golden calf. And God was so displeased with them that God's intent was to destroy them all, every last one of them. Amen. So Moses did not have a specific promise that God would spare Israel, but he interceded on their behalf. Mr. Bound said, with incessant prayers and many tears. And, you know, he even told God, he said, you know, they're going to say you couldn't do it, that you brought them out here just to kill them. And, you know, God relented. He said, okay, you know, I'm not going to destroy them now. I'm not going to destroy them right now, because we know what happened to them in the end. What I didn't realize, you know, Moses went in there and he killed a lot of those people himself because of their disobedience and what they had done against God by building that golden calf. Read it. It's like, oh my God. I think he said 3,000. He killed 3,000. It's like, oh! Oh my God. Amen. And again, that's Exodus 32. Then he says another example of this prayer of submission that Mr. Bounds is talking about. He says, Daniel had no definite promise that God will reveal to him the meaning of the king's dream. Y'all remember that, huh? You know, king said, oh, I had this dream. I don't even know what it was. I mean, this man was desperate. He hadn't called all of his astrologers and all his people. Tell me what I dreamed. He couldn't even remember the dream. And it's like, and Daniel said, you know, I'm going to ask God. You know, I'm going to ask God. You know, after they called him and said, they got a man here. Amen. Mr. Bowen said, but Daniel prayed specifically and God answered him definitely. Amen. God was very definite, very specific. This is the dream and this is the meaning of the dream. Now, you know, Mr. Bowen has given us these examples. You know, this is one of the things that our apostle is always urging us. Don't just read the Bible and look at these characters. Put yourself in these places sometimes, amen? When we're dealing with some things similar to some of these issues here, you know, we can go to God and petition on our behalf, or on behalf of our family members, our friends, or anybody else, amen? The way they did. You know, Moses interceded for a whole nation, and God honored that, amen? So we can intercede for the United States of America, as we did. Hallelujah. The word of God is made effectual and operative by the process and practice of prayer. Effectual and operative by the process and practice of prayer. I have a note here. Elijah. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, and we see that in 1 Kings 18 and 1. And he says, go show thyself unto Ahab. And look, this is the promise. I will send rain upon the earth. You know, you go show yourself, and I'm going to send the rain. Amen? That's the promise. Elijah showed himself to Ahab, but the answer to his prayer did not come until he had pressed his fiery prayer upon the Lord 7 times. Remember, he kept telling the servant, go back and check. Go back and check, go back and check. And then finally, he said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand, okay? But you see, the good thing about Elijah here and what it was so important for us to see. He was persistent. Second year students, y'all remember that, persistence in prayer. Amen. And he could be persistent. Why? Because he had a promise from God. God said, go show yourself and I'm gonna send the rain. So he did the first part. He went and showed himself to Abraham. Now he was scared. You know he was scared, huh? Amen. But he did it, you know, he says, I'm gonna go and show myself. And the rain didn't come immediately. He had to pray. Amen. And then finally, God honored his prayer and sent the rain. Paul, we look at Elijah, then we look at Paul, had the definite promise from Christ that he would deliver him. And we see that in Acts 26:17, says, from the people and from the Gentiles. Now, over in Romans 15:30, this is a scripture that we have looked at before. And it says, you know, talking about pray for us, that we may be delivered from those that do not believe. Amen. Pray for us. Talking about a promise here. And Paul had a definite promise that he would be delivered. Amen. And then in Romans 15:30 and 31. It reads, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, and again, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Amen. Amen. That his service would be accepted of the saints. The word of God, he says, is a great help in prayer. I believe it's the only help in prayer. He says, if it is lodged and written in our hearts, it will form an outflowing current of prayer. Amen. Yeah, it goes right back to, I mean, if you don't have the word, you really can't pray effectively. Amen. He says, form an outflowing current of prayer, full and irresistible. Promises stored in the heart are to be the fuel from which prayer receives life and warmth. Amen. Promises stored in the heart, talking about God's word, stored in your heart, are to be the fuel from which prayer receives life and warmth. Unless the vital forces of prayer are supplied by God's word, prayer, though earnest, and he used the word vociferous, and I have in parentheses, loud and clamorous. Have you ever heard people like that? They're praying loud. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. He says, in its urgency, is in reality, if it's not based on the word. Remember this now. This is what he's saying. Unless the vital forces of prayer are supplied by God's word, prayer, though earnest and vociferous or loud and clamorous in its urgency, is in reality flabby and void. Amen. Does that help you to see why some of them prayers not being answered? Amen. You're praying, but you're not praying according to the word of God. You have not allowed the word of God to dwell richly in your heart. You have not allowed the word to transform you to the point that you know and that you can believe. I mean, most of us here know, for example, that healing is ours. You know, we don't have to think about that. We just know with Jesus Christ, we were healed. Amen. So we don't pray, if it be your will, heal me. Well, I mean, that's the truth. We don't pray like that. We've been taught. A lot of people have not been taught that. So you will hear them pray, Lord, if it be your will, heal so-and-so. Amen. But we know it is the will of God. You could wake us up at 2:00 in the morning and ask us, is it the will of God for you to be healed? And we will say, yes, yes. You know, and when we pray, we're going to pray knowing that it is the will of God. We don't have to ask. We know that it's your will. When we pray, amen, I can speak for myself. How you want to do this, Lord? I mean, that's just the way I know it's your will, you know. So tell me how you want to. That's my only concern. How you want to do it? Which way you want me to go? You know? And then there we go, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Trust the Holy Ghost to reveal to you which way to go. Right, left, back, forward. Amen. Amen. Knowing by faith that if I do what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do, then I'm going to get the outcome that God has promised me with Jesus Christ. You are healed. Amen. Amen. Does that make a little sense to you? Hallelujah. So, I mean, you can tell that to somebody who don't know what you know. Amen. Hallelujah. Unless the vital forces of prayer are supplied by God's word, prayer, though earnest, which we talked about there, is in reality flabby and void. The absence of a vital force in praying can be traced to the absence of a constant supply of God's word to repair the waste and renew the life. He who wants to learn to pray well must first study God's word and store it. And I had a little note out there in my margin, and he said, store it in his memory and thought. And you know, memory and thought is where? In my soul. That's what I wanted you to say, in my soul. And we're going to look at that, is that 2 Timothy 2, study to show thyself approved unto God, 2:15. So, you know, we're going to look at that. Mr. Bounds is going to show that to us in just a little bit later on in this lesson. But it is so, 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 so important for us to know the word in order to be able to pray effectively. Amen? And tell me those three things I told you in the beginning of the lesson. Okay, the word that y'all did good. I didn't hear the people on this side that much. Okay. The word of God, the spirit of God, and I want you to say my faith. My faith. Amen? Amen. God bless.